Hello and welcome to the Inside College Hockey Podcast, special Halloween edition as we record on October 31st. I hope all of your tricks were tricky and your treats were delicious. Joe Gladyszewski once again joined by Jess Myers and Mike Eidelbus. No hesitation this time, guys. I remembered your names.
No.
Remembered your names.
Playing a little shorthanded tonight, too.
Yes.
Yeah, there's only two of us. You had a break this week. Only two of us.
I did.
Yeah.
It's one of the things we did here in the East, you know. We didn't have those big Olympic sheets, so we only had two guys on our wings. I'm not used to having the three guys across. So,
I think daylight savings time, the whole daylight savings time switch has Nate confused, so hopefully he'll be joining us in about an hour.
Yeah.
It's taking him till Wednesday to get that, then he's in bigger problems.
Exactly.
Than missing the podcast. Guys, let's start with the Inch Power Rankings, and it comes in the wake of tonight's result earlier tonight with Providence beating Boston College. I think one of the most noteworthy and commendable things that has happened thus far this year is that Maine and Minnesota have been consistently excellent. They really haven't had any stumbling blocks, and that's hard to do in this era of college hockey.
No question, and I mean, especially when you look at Maine, the way they started, they played, obviously, Minnesota. They played Minnesota and St. Paul at the XL Energy Center. And then they came home for two against Bemidji State, and then they go to North Dakota before coming back home last weekend for a couple game or a game against UMass, which they won 4-1. I think that's what's most impressive about Maine, and we kind of talked about it a little bit last week about, you know, they're kind of that we'll play anybody anywhere anytime team. As far as college hockey is concerned, and they don't back down from a challenge, and you know, and they're 6-0, and you know, it's not just because they're perfect that they're number one, but also that they've done it against some high quality competition.
Jess, you got a good look at the Gophers last week. How do they look right now?
Scary good. Granted, it's against a Colorado College team that's not what it was or what we've come to expect from Colorado College. Not only are they, I think, in the midst of a down year, I think I picked them for maybe seventh in the WCHA, but they also had a couple guys out with mono last weekend. So, you know, not that that would have allowed them to sweep in Minnesota, or, you know, if they were at full health, they're on the same page as Minnesota, but boy, the Gophers look really good. They're starting to be what we expected they would be. You mentioned that early season loss to Maine, and I guess that was kind of one of those false start games. I put that up there with Wisconsin starting the season last year, losing at home to St. Lawrence. So, boy, Minnesota has got it all clicking. I'm still not sure about their goaltending, but with the way they're scoring, it doesn't matter.
And it's not like they're scoring kind of fluky goals either. I mean, if you watch them on TV or if you were at Mariucci Arena last weekend, I mean, just about every goal they scored was just a pretty goal with great passing or, you know, a guy making a great move on the goalie. They're really putting on a show. And I think this is the team, or the way they're playing now, is kind of how we thought they would be last year when they had Kessel and Patalny and Ehrman, and we saw glimpses of it, but no consistency. But they're definitely a fun team to watch, high-powered. Okposo is something else. I think at least thus far this year, at least the way he played on Saturday, you know, he proved, you could see why the Islanders thought so highly of him. But it will be just interesting to watch them this weekend when they're at Duluth on that postage stamp of an ice rink at the deck.
Well, that's an interesting series for a lot of reasons. Minnesota Duluth has kind of not, I wouldn't say stumbled out of the gate, but they've played around 500. I mean, they've got some young, good players. They're getting decent goaltending. And the deck is a place that's just been kind of a house of horrors for Minnesota, at least in the last, I would say, four seasons. I don't think they've even won a game in Duluth since about 2003. So that's the case where your youth really actually helps you. You've got all these young players going into the deck for the first time. They've never lost there. They have no history of struggling in that building. You know, Kyle Oposo has probably never played there before, so for him it's just another small rink where there's going to be, you know, maybe 1,000 Gopher fans cheering you on. So that makes it pretty interesting, I think.
Jess, your Halloween puns are fantastic. You called the Gophers scary good, and now the deck is a house of horrors. I love it.
Wow.
Way to capture the spirit of the thing. And speaking of the spirit of the season.
You said spirit.
Who schedules the darkest, most demonic logo in college hockey? The Skating Friar.
Wait a second.
Providence.
Hold it. How can you call the Skating Friar is a religious man. How can you call him demonic?
Oh, he's intimidating.
Well, it is, you know, tomorrow.
He's mysterious. Mysterious. That's a better word.
It's All Hallows Eve tonight, which is All Saints Day is tomorrow. So you probably don't.
Of course it is.
Don't want to play. There's BC's good. They're the Jesuits. So.
Does St. Lawrence schedule a game on All Saints Day every year just for Roman's sake?
They have to check out the practice at Appleton tomorrow.
They should. Should have a tournament. They should have a little tournament. You get
St.
Anselm, St. Olaf, and St. Thomas
Saint
in there.
St.
Scholastica, the patron saint of not flunking.
Holy Cross.
No, but yeah, you're right. But they do call, don't they, what do they call Schneider Arena? Isn't it called like Tomb
the
or the Coffin? Yeah, there you go. You don't want to play
the
in the coffin. Who wants to play in the coffin on Halloween?
You don't do that. And BC found that out tonight. A 2-goal lead for Boston College was erased by the Friars, and Providence scored a 5-3 upset victory over the Eagles. Let's talk about schizophrenia. And Boston College lose to Notre Dame, blown out by Notre Dame, win against Bowling Green, two huge wins at Wisconsin that looked very impressive, and now they come back and lose to Providence. What do you think is going on? Any theories in Boston?
Oh, that's a good question.
We'll get our Hockey East correspondent on this for sure.
Yeah.
If
he can figure out how to use a phone.
he told me he's waiting until they get all the bugs worked out before he jumps in and buys one of those phones.
He's waiting for version 2.0. I guess you can give BC a little bit of a mulligan for, you know, coming off a trip to Wisconsin where they played, you know, very well, and Schneider was really good in both games. Obviously, he gave up one goal on the weekend. Granted, Wisconsin's having a hard time scoring goals, but, I mean, still, that's a pretty impressive feat going into that rink and holding Wisconsin to one goal. So you can kind of, I think you can see where they might be let down to come back, you know, 2-3 days later after a big non-conference sweep. And obviously, you know, given what happened last April in Milwaukee, there was probably, I'm guessing, a lot of emotion on the Boston College side to maybe get some measure of revenge. But, you know, for the kind of talent that BC has, you know, in that lineup that they put out there every night, you know, I guess as the season progresses, you know, losses like this just, you know, it's not acceptable for the team of that talent to come into a Providence and a team that has struggled off the bat and lose by a 5-3 score, especially the way they lost, jumping ahead 2-0 and then you know, giving up 5 of the next 6.
It's a we've commented on the top 3 teams in the Inch Power rankings, and it brings us to number 4, Michigan State. They held serve last weekend at home by defeating St. Lawrence and Sacred Heart. Their opponent this weekend, storied rival Michigan, is ready. Those two teams will have a home-and-home. Michigan stumbles in with an OT win over Northeastern and then a 3-2 loss to Northeastern. Again, two teams seemingly headed in slightly different directions, but each has concerns. Michigan will be without Jack Johnson on Friday night due to a DQ penalty, and Michigan State's Jeff Lurg, who was a heroic rookie performer last year, has not been keeping the puck out of the net very well this year. More goals against than is typical for Michigan State. But when these teams play, it seems that there's always a lot of ties. Kind of what you expect this weekend, Boss?
It's like Father's Day in Michigan. Bunch of ties. I think, and I'm going off the top of my head, something like five of the last eight meetings between these two teams have ended in ties. And, this series has always been a close series, you know, regardless of, the talent level on either side. Who might be up, who might be down. It's always seems to come down to being a one-goal game. And, you know, I think both sides have some questions to answer. Michigan had a ton of shots on goal on Saturday. I think they had something like 47 shots on goal and to maybe 20 for Northeastern and still could only manage two goals. And previously, goal scoring hadn't been a problem for them. And their goaltending, too, you know, Billy Sauer struggled last year, and he's kind of going through some issues this year as well. For Michigan State, you know, they're scoring, but it's giving up goals that's been a problem for them. And I don't know how much of that is Lurg or how much of that is the fact that they've had a little bit of turnover defensively and, Corey Potter's not there anymore, and he was obviously, you know, a bigger physical kind of defenseman, and they don't really have that kind of a guy filling that role right now. Now, and they've got some new guys kind of coming in, and they're trying to mesh a little bit, and so, you know, there's some question marks. I got a feeling that this could end up being a high-scoring game. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 5-4, 6-5 type of game, just because of, you know, Michigan, obviously with their goaltending questions. I'm not sold on Billy Sauer at all yet, and just Michigan State with their defensive questions and trying to get that all sorted out.
Yeah, those teams play Friday night at Munn in East Lansing and then Saturday at Yost down in Ann Arbor.
I just wanted to say you missed an opportunity, by the way. You said Jeff Lurg has been heroic. You could have said he was super heroic and continued the whole Halloween theme because, you know, one of my kids went as a superhero tonight and would have kind of kept the thing going. But, hey, missed opportunity.
Which superhero was that? Some of mine?
He went as Dash from The Incredibles. Yeah, I know that's one of your favorites.
Yeah, I can't get enough Incredibles.
Does he have a wife?
I think Miss Incredible.
Mrs. No, Dash? Or is it Mrs. Dash?
Maybe it's Mrs. Dash. You're right.
She's spicy.
The puns are running out of control.
I know. Unbelievable.
Let me get this train back on the tracks a little bit. One other factor about Michigan State's goals against: losing Drew Miller to a pro contract.
Yes. Yes,
he was very valuable as a forward to overall team defense. Let's talk about Drew Miller and other former college players. The American Hockey League is, and I'm a staunch defender of the American Hockey League, I think it's amazing. Very rarely do you see any pro player go straight from whether it's NCAA hockey or European hockey or major junior right into the show. It seems like there's a lot because they're the types of players whose names you know right away. You know, the Joe Thorntons and the Alex Ovechkins, you know, those are the guys. But the American League is a great league, and a lot of players had to learn a lot about hockey in that league. Ryan Miller, for example, older brother of Drew Miller. Thomas Vanek had a lot of growing pains, was a healthy scratch several nights for the Rochester Amherst because of his defensive liabilities, and now he's with plus 11 on the season, and I'm citing Buffalo examples. But you look at the American Hockey League rookie scoring leaders right now, and Joe Pavelski, former Badger, is leading the American Hockey League in rookie scoring, and 6 of the top 10 rookies in the American League this year in scoring are former college players, Drew Miller among them.
You know, I'm gonna throw this question back to you rather than you throwing the question to us.
Go for it.
Not having seen as much AHL hockey, you know, we see the Griffins every once in a while, but we don't, you know, our exposure to it here in Michigan isn't all that great. But what is it about the league that allows these college kids to go in there and thrive? You know, I think the situation was similar last year. I mean, you look at a guy like Dustin Penner, who was unbelievable in the American League last year, and you know, obviously Ryan Shannon was good, and trying to think of who else had good years in the AHL last year. Tony Vos was good. What is it about the league that allows college guys to come in and flourish right off the bat?
One of the reasons is age. The kids are a little older than the junior kids who come up at age 20. And I think college hockey teaches the same values that the American League and all of pro hockey really treasures: strength and smarts and defensive responsibility. Kids get a lot more video time in college. They get a lot more weight room time in college playing the 35-ish game schedule than they do riding a bus from Moose Jaw to Medicine Hat. You know, really, honestly.
Oh, I know.
There's more time, you know, to be and learn the game and build yourself physically and mentally to succeed at the next level. And that goes for hockey-wise, but also, I think, human being-wise. You know, instead of playing canasta in the back of the bus, these kids are in classes, these kids are, you know, being analytical and breaking down an opponent and understanding, you know, Western Michigan's power play is probably, you know, draws a strong parallel to solving problems in a business environment or a work environment. So I think that has something to do with it. I think the American Hockey League schedule mirrors college hockey very closely, because there are a lot of Friday, Saturday, Sunday games, and then you've got 4 days of practice, because these medium-sized markets that have American League teams want those Friday night home dates to get people in the seats. Have been a little bit separated from the American Hockey League over the last 4 years or 5 years, because I work for Inch now, but when I was in college, I covered the Syracuse Crunch very closely and got to see tons of American Hockey League games. And it's just spectacular hockey. One thing that I've told people is, if you go to watch, you know who the stars are when you go to a college hockey game. You know who the best skater is. You know who the best shooter is. But in the American League, the players are that much better, where the worst skating guy on the Providence Bruins would be the best skating guy on the college team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the guy with the worst shot in Worcester or San Antonio or wherever, Grand Rapids, Milwaukee, you know, those guys, their skill level is so much higher, and the game is faster, and it's stronger, and it's bigger, and it's tougher. I think it's just a tremendous place to learn the game and learn how to be a pro. You know, it's easy for kids to get lost in that, because they're kind of a big deal in these cities that, you know, either don't have strong hockey tradition or just aren't that big. You know, you can get caught up in a pro lifestyle, even though it is the American League and they've got money in their pocket really for the first time in their lives. So I think it's a fabulous educational and training ground to be a professional hockey player. And that's what it's for. And that's why it's the top developmental league in the world, for the National Hockey League. Matt Carl didn't need the American Hockey League.
No,
he's off to a terrific start for San Jose, and we saw a factoid courtesy of Elias Sports Bureau where Carl has 10 points, or maybe 11, in the month of October as a rookie defenseman. And 3 other defensemen all-time have had 10 or more points in the month of October, 10 rookie defensemen in the National Hockey League. And, Bus, those names are?
Gary Suter, former Wisconsin Badger, with Calgary, or Calgary, whichever you prefer. Brian
Calgary Suter.
There you go. Brian Leach.
Boston College.
Boston College. And the third was Rob Blake, the pride of Simcoe, Ontario.
And a Falcon.
And a Falcon. So that's pretty good company. B, they're all college guys, and I don't know what that says. If obviously it's
podcast fodder is what it is.
It is. That's exactly what it is. But it's coincidental to a certain degree. But speaking of Simcoe, Ontario, I was watching.
I was going to say, isn't Dwayne Rolston the
Dwayne
of Simcoe, Ontario?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was watching CBC's Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday, and the late game was Edmonton and Washington Caps, and the after hours guest after the game, they have a guest for a little question and answer type of thing, and it was Dwayne Rolison, and he played minor hockey in Simcoe with Rob Blake as a 13-14 year old, through those ranks, and they show the team
pictures.
Those
teams probably did well.
Yeah, they did. That's, when you're coaching 13 and 14 year olds, you can build from, you can start with Dwayne Rolison and then build out with Rob Blake. I think you're going to be okay. just a hunch.
He's strong down the middle, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
For the Tommy's Auto Parts Bantams.
Exactly.
Although at 13 and 14, you have guys missing games with acne-related injuries, so you've got to keep that in mind.
Depth is always a factor.
But if you can, if you can start with Rolison and Blake, I mean that's a pretty good head start.
Yeah, it is a pretty good head start.
And it would be interesting to know if there were other. That would be a good question. What minor hockey team or Pee Wee or whatever, I know they have different names in different places, but which one, had the most future pros or something like that on it?
There was a select team out of Syracuse that also drew from Rochester. It was kind of a travel select team, and it had a lot of a lot of people from Central New York all together, but Tim Connolly, Matt Murley, Brian Gianta, and
Robbie Shrimp.
Forrest.
Robbie Shrimp was probably
Shrimp's
too
a lot
young.
Younger than those guys, yeah. And I can't remember who else, but they were pretty loaded.
Yeah, I'd say
so.
As an age group, they won the Quebec Pee Wee tournament, that world-famous Pee-wee tournament that draws teams from Sweden, Russia, States, and Canada. And that Syracuse team won it when they were all young, and they were really good.
One that stands out in my mind along those lines, 92-92 Bloomington Jefferson High School team here in Minnesota went undefeated, won the state championship. I think they had, I want to say, like 11 or 12 guys on that team that played Division I. And, I mean, we're talking names like Mark Parrish, Toby Peterson, Mike Crowley, some huge names as far as Division I hockey goes. And a few of them have made careers in the NHL for themselves, too. That was on one public high school team, which I think is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Public is in quotes, though. No, that was before the days of... Well, was that before... No, that wasn't before the days of open enrollment, was it?
No, that was open enrollment time. In fact, they beat Hill Murray, a private school, for the title game. So, that was back when Jefferson Hockey was clearly a dynasty. Tony Bianchi or Joey Bianchi was on that team too, and a lot of good names. Ben Clymer, I think, as well. So there's at least
Washington Cap.
So.
He's a Washington Capital.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he certainly is. Glad you inspired me. I just looked at the top scorers in the AHL. The top three, Darren Haydar, Junior Lessard, Jason Krog. Two Hobie winners, two New Hampshire Wildcats. That's a nice top three. Why aren't they in the NHL? Come on.
I'd hate to see Senior Lessard.
Another former New Hampshire Wildcat, Eric Boganicki, was the MVP of the American League last year.
Was he really?
Here's my question. Since you seem to know the American League so well, though, somebody's got to explain to me why the Iowa Stars are the Dallas farm team and Minnesota's farm team is in Houston. It just, someone got to do some little geographical sense making there to me.
Yeah, but anything with the Stars in Minnesota is taboo, right? Anymore?
Oh no, we don't even talk about it.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a weird dynamic.
But it's a weird dynamic here. They could put the Iowa team. The Iowa team could be the Wild farm team,
right?
And the Houston. Maybe I don't. Maybe Houston and Dallas just don't like each other.
Well, there's that. No, it's a very strange dynamic here with the Dallas Stars because there are certain people, and I'm among them, that if the Dallas Stars never won another game, that would be fine with me. Just very, very bitter all these years later. And then there are other people like my next-door neighbor who just grew up loving the North Stars and didn't see any reason to switch when they moved, way, way, way down I-35. And so there are still these pockets of Dallas Stars fans up here. It's kind of strange.
Or pockets of idiots.
You also see that as an Atlanta Braves fan, the biggest crowds we get on the road are at Milwaukee.
Oh yeah,
a lot of people still love the Braves out in Milwaukee, and I'd be interested to see an Indianapolis Colts game at Ravens Stadium. See how that one looked from the same.
A friend of mine in St. Louis said it's not a big deal when the Arizona Cardinals come back to town. So. but then again, football in St. Louis has never been that big a deal.
No, I was going to say it's not a big deal when the Arizona Cardinals play anywhere.
The St. Louis Rams are exactly who we thought they were.
Les Mouflons. Isn't that what they call them?
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah, something like that. What's coming up this weekend? What do we talk about? Did we talk about that already?
We talked about Michigan State, Michigan. We talked about Minnesota, Minnesota, Duluth.
You didn't talk
we
about...
We didn't talk about the chill.
The chill.
UCAC Hockey League.
It's the chill.
It's the chill.
We need to get callers. We should have callers sometime.
Hello, caller?
Yeah.
We would solicit feedback about the best minor or high school hockey teams you've seen. Email us at inch@insidecollegehockey.com.
There you go.
And we will discuss it on a future podcast.
Who's playing high school hockey on Halloween?
No, not this season. All
we've
time.
We've talked 10 minutes on it.
Oh, all time.
Yes.
All time.
Remember? Gotcha. Remember when we were talking about 5 minutes ago?
Remember that? Remember that time?
Remember that time? That was awesome.
And suddenly it's the Chris Farley show.
Remember last week when you wrote the WCHA notebook? That was awesome.
Remember that time when Jordan Parisi gave up 7 goals? Oh, I'm sorry, we can't bring that up.
Now you're putting sand in the wound.
Sand. I hate sand in the wound.
Oh, the best jokes are inside jokes.
Inside college hockey.
If you people just knew, A, knew who we were, and B, followed us around for a while.
Wow.
That
would be really creepy.
You'd probably soil yourself with laughter.
That would be really creepy.
Which part?
People following us around.
Well, hey.
Actually, you guys joke. I met a guy in the Minnesota Wild press box about a week and a half ago that knew, like, everything I'd ever written and was telling me how much he enjoyed myself. And I got a little weirded out. I don't mind telling you. What, a stalker?
Did he tell you to put the lotion in the basket?
He said, yeah, I've read everything you've ever written. I'm surprised you haven't improved it all over all these years.
Exactly.
He's got a thorough scouting report. You got to give him credit for that.
He gave you a note he made by cutting letters out of the newspaper.
And Bizarre Magazine.
Okay, you're talking about some sort of chill team.
I think the game
that's,
of the
that's
weekend...
That's code word for the ECACHL. Chill. We call it the chill.
If you take the last three letters of the acronym and He's called the ECA Chill, hence Chill.
There's
your word origin.
Because who's got time to say all of those letters? I don't.
Exactly.
I'm a busy man.
Chill. The Chill. And the Proving Ground game, as we've seen with Boston College not being able to prove themselves consistently, they prove themselves at times. Consistency is what we seek. Clarkson and Dartmouth on Saturday night at Thompson Arena in Hanover, New Hampshire is one to watch this weekend. Looking forward to that tilt. I won't be there, but I'm going to try and watch it on that newfangled internet.
Oh, okay. I will too.
We'll see what happens. And we must regrettably take a moment of silence at this time.
Please doff your caps.
Please rise and remove your caps as we fondly remember the career of Puckman.
All right. That's enough.
Thank you.
Is that moment of silence in some way different than the occasional moments of awkward silence you have?
Yes, that was reverence.
Yes.
We seem to have those a lot.
This entire thing is awkward, whether it's silent or not.
We're rolling through the podcast.
It's like
we thought the silence was awkward, and then he started talking.
Yeah, there you go. It's like middle school all over again.
It's like an awkward cupcake with awkward frosting.
Okay, are you gonna?
We
should explain the RPI.
I think. Well, let's talk about Puckman. Puckman, the beloved Rensselaer mascot, has not been removed. He has been demoted, kind of pushed to the back a little bit.
Sent to the bullpen.
Yeah. Probably not your starting goalie, but still opening the bench door.
Exactly.
So Puckman is being just not eliminated, but just kind of phased out by Rensselaer Athletics as the primary logo for hockey, and it made us sad for a little while, but then we wrote a napkin and made ourselves laugh. And from the positive feedback we received today, it made a lot of you laugh as well. If you haven't seen this week's napkin, 9 Reasons for Puckman's Demotion, please check it out. And thank you to all of the readers who called and or wrote today.
You got a phone call?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And 3 emails and 3 phone calls.
Wow.
People were loving it. Loved it. Said. And the leading candidate for backhanded compliment of the year, it's the best thing Inch has done in a while.
Wow.
That came from Dave Ellis at Michigan State University. So, Ellis, thank you for your compliment. And the kick in the nuts.
The general sentiment people?
Can you say nuts on the internet?
Wow.
Yeah. So
want Puckman back? I mean, are they happy to see him go?
Still around. He's still gonna be the mascot at the games, but he's not gonna be like on the crest of the sweater. He's at like a shoulder patch now.
Oh.
And you know, on publications where the front of their media guide 2 years ago was an awesome like montage mural thing of Puckman. Now that's not the case anymore. See, they wouldn't use him in that capacity as carrying the flag or stick, so to speak, for Rensselaer hockey. But he's still around, just kind of reduced in his role a little bit.
He's kind of like Keith Jackson. You know, remember he'd do like Oklahoma, Nebraska, Michigan, Ohio State, and all of a sudden he's doing he's doing Oregon State, Washington State. that's kind of what happened.
Well, he is from Washington State, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
So that's why he gets that assignment.
No, he's not doing it anymore. No, he's not. Did he go to Washington State?
I think so.
I didn't know they had that southern accent in Washington State. Anyways, Puckman's still around. Long story short.
Puckman's around.
Just
good napkin. Good guy, Puckman. Solid. Solid guy.
Solid.
Vulcanized.
You know what?
Vulcanized.
Oh, man. Solid guy. Except for that night they left him in a bucket of warm water.
He has this tattoo that says "In Glasgow" on the side. I don't know what that means. It's a family name.
We don't know who his parents are, but we know they're from Czechoslovakia.
Oh man, he's good. I heard he's good in the room too.
He's good in the room.
Well, he's vulcanized. What more?
He always goes in the corners.
He does.
He does go in the corners. What more can you ask for? This has deteriorated enough to wrap things up, I think.
I think so, too.
Well, let me tell one last story, because you mentioned the backup goalie tending the door.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody's heard this, but
the dumb
bad luck story from college hockey from last week. Josh Johnson, backup goalie at Minnesota St. Louis. He's been pretty much a career backup, I would say. He's played some good games for them, but he was Isaac Reichsmuth's backup for the most part for 3 years, and now he's backing up Alex Stalock. He'd played well enough in practice last week that Scott Sandlin, the Bulls coach, told him, "You're going to start on Saturday." So Friday night they're playing Denver, Stalock's in goal. Josh Johnson's running the door. This really isn't funny, but I can't help but chuckle a little. Because just dumb circumstances. He's running the door. Andrew Carroll comes off the ice and, like, hops the boards. And as he's doing so, his skate catches Josh Johnson in the hand, opens up a cut that requires 16 stitches. And now, you know, right before he's going to start his first game of the season, he's out for, like, a week until his hand heals. So best wishes to Josh Johnson for a speedy recovery, and we'd love to see you in goal for the Bulldogs at some point. But, boy, dumb luck.
Yeah,
that is tough. Tough break. He definitely did not get the bounce on that one.
No
puck luck for Josh Johnson. I am better than you two and 98% of our listeners because I had a cup of Tim Hortons coffee today and it was delicious.
It is,
along with 6 Timbits.
Only 6?
Yeah.
Why stop at 6?
Because that's how many I ordered.
No. Well, then.
For those of us who live in Timbit-free America, you're just taunting now. You're just piling on.
Well, yeah, I am. Now you know
are.
How every other conference in the country feels during the Frozen Four. And with that, we thank you for listening to the Halloween edition of the Inside College Hockey podcast for Mike Eidelbiss and Jess Myers. And Nate Ewell, who will be on in about 20 minutes. I'm Joe Gladyszewski. Thanks for reading, Inch.